back on Downtown. It's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan is with us in studio, and explain the Phil Collins connection here.
Well, I mean, there must be some misunderstanding. I'm not Eric Meehan at all.
No?
No. Yes, I am. I can't make that up. Yeah, so, you know, sticking with the whole songs that somehow tie in, we're going to be talking about drummers today who stepped out from the drum.
No.
No. No, we're talking. So it's a new month. Happy new month. Happy August. I hope everybody's enjoying it. I know the heat is bad, but I remind you what is worse. So, you know, suck it up and enjoy it. Yeah. I'm telling you. Find a lake and jump in it. So we're talking about Italy, and today we're going to talk about a misunderstood region, and I sort of want to talk about it, and so I figured misunderstanding from our good friend Phil Collins mm-hmm. and Mike Rutherford and the other people that were in Genesis who I don't remember would be the perfect thing, because it's a baffling thing. It's like why the Orioles are still a Major League Baseball team, despite I think being the they got the most runs scored on them by any opposing team ever in their ball. Well done. Well done, Orioles. So, misunderstandings, right? So Piedmont. Let's talk, what is Piedmont? Where is Piedmont? And then we'll talk about why it's misunderstood. Piedmont is, I like to call it Italy's answer to France's Appalachian system. So to revisit the Appalachians, yeah, it's the term that says that a given product is from a delimited region of land. And then there are very often accompanying rules, very often what grapes must be in it, how long those grapes must be aged, sometimes in wood, sometimes in bottle before release, sometimes in both. And Italy is rife with these things, and we'll try to go into, and every town has its different rules. I mean, it's not just like, you know, Burgundy's Pinot Noir and Chardonnay. Like it's much more specific. It's not only vineyard site specific, but it's also very specific in terms of what you need to do as a winemaker before anybody gets to taste your wines from your particular appellation, from your region. In Italy, the system is called the Denominazione di Origine Controllata, sometimes with a garantita thrown on, and I don't know why he suddenly became Hispanic, but it's the DOC, right? And then the DOCG, which is a somewhat higher, more strict regulatory standard. Yeah? It came about in the 1960s. And as I said, it was an answer to France's Appalachian system. The Piedmont region in particular is very Frenchy in terms of the grapes they grow, the attitude towards wine that they have. It is a place where they really, really hold their wines in great respect. They love the wines in ways that that we don't understand, which is kind of going to the misunderstanding point of this. And there's a lot of wines in Piedmont. There's a lot of grapes in Piedmont. Where is Piedmont? Let's hit that. So as you come into Italy, the northern end of Italy from France's Provence, or you're coming east from the east from Venice, and then through Trentino. So you're really going through the foothills of the Alps at this point. And Piedmont is basically this big western chunk of the northern end of Italy. It shares, and the other part of that area that I want to quickly touch on is the Valdosta region. And we all kind of got to know this region through the Olympics when they were in Turin. Very, very, you know, the foothills of the Alps are very, very picturesque, and they're some of the highest vineyard elevations in the entire world. And they make very, very racy, it's hard to ripen up there, obviously, yeah. So a lot of very racy whites. And you see that kind of shared and it percolates into Piedmont because, again, a lot of the northern parts of Piedmont, which are the less famous parts of Piedmont, harder to get around and simply just didn't get the wine reputation that the other parts that we're going to talk about in a couple minutes did. But there's areas of northern Piedmont that are growing absolutely fascinating wines. They're sort of 201 level wines, right? They're not for everybody, because again, some of them tend to be quite acidic, quite racy, because you're into areas where it's very mineral. You're plunging roots down through, you know, mountains, and it's tricky to get these things to ripen fully, but the wines are very fascinating. You don't see a lot of them, unfortunately, here in the U.S. What you do see, and so now we'll touch on the stuff that I'm sure more people are acquainted with. One of the most popular grapes from this region is the Moscato grape. Now, Moscato and Muscat are found all over. The Muscat grape is one of the original grapes. It was brought around by the Phoenicians a million years ago. Yeah, not a million. You take my meaning. But the Phoenicians that also, you know, are basically genetically interbred to every part of the Mediterranean culture, also brought a lot of the grapes around. The Greeks get credit for it, but the Phoenicians kind of did it first. And Muscat is a grape where it's everywhere. Moscato is at its loftiest form in the town of Asti. If anybody remembers the Asti Spumante craze of yes. The 80s, that's essentially what it was. But like, you know, a lot of the more popular wine crazes, the wine that was popular was not the best version of that. And indeed, in this case, Moscato's from the town of Asti, and then from the region of Pavia, which is just to the east of that, are really quite good. The Vietti family, we're going to be drinking a wine from the Vietti family today. Actually, it's the DeMarche family, but the Vietti winery. They make a beautiful one. A lot of folks do. So if you're someone or you love someone who likes, it's more frothy than sparkling, you know, it's not like a champagne or anything, but sort of a frothier, very creamy style of sweet wine. And then its sort of companion piece is the Brachetto wine. Brachetto, mostly found in the town of Acqui, A-C-Q-U-I, Brachetto d'Acqui, is basically red Moscato, a red version of that. And again, very kind of frothy and delicious. So if you can find those and you like those, that style, check out Moscatos from the town of Asti and from the region of Pavia, and then also Brachetto from the town of Acqui. And you know, they're way better sweet wines than you can get from a lot of other places. White wines from the region of Piedmont that are of particular note. There's two that I would bring to your attention. There is the wine called, most popularly called Gavi, which is an appellation. And then Gavi is actually made out of a grape called Cortese. Cortese can be kind of a wonderful, medium-bodied, nutty alternative to Chardonnays, things like that. So if you kind of have Chard fatigue, as does happen, check out wines made out of the Cortese grape. And as I said, Gavi. And sometimes you'll see there's a micro commune called Gavi di Gavi. This is a wine you very much like to check out, especially Fontana Freda makes a very, very good Gavi. And that is something that we stock at the shop, so come check that out. And then the other white wine, which is really kind of cool, and again, the DeMarche family from Vietti was one of the principal... I don't know, vocab retrieval problem. The Arneis grape, Arneis, the grandfather of the current winemaker Luca, really resuscitated this fantastic grape along with the winery called Malvira. Those two wineries brought this, and again, Arneis is a really wonderful medium-bodied grape. It's got a lot of, you know, fresh white fruit characteristics to it. But it's also got a little bit of herbaceousness, and the examples of that that you can find, because no one really makes Arneis who's not serious about it. So you're probably, if you come across one on a restaurant list or in a store, you can pretty much be rest assured that it's going to be pretty good, because it's not like something that is popular enough to do. Like, everybody has to make a Chardonnay, and everybody has to make a Pinot Noir, and everybody has to make a blah blah blah. If you're making Arneis, you're probably pretty devoted to the thing. which is the reason it started to, you know, sort of fade away initially anyway, is because, you know, the grapes that are sometimes harder to deal, you know, work with, people just rip them out and in favor of laziness, frankly. So there you go. But they're both the Cortese grape and the Arnaise grape are food friendly for days. They're great with lobsters for, you know, we've had, you know, how many people just this week coming, you know, I got family coming into town and we have to have the obligatory lobster dinner. Check those wines out. You'll be happy. Before we get to the king of Piedmont, which is the real misunderstood thing, I do want to talk about the other two red grapes that are really excellent. The wine we're drinking today is the Barbera grape. Barbera is an earlier ripening grape. This is really the grape that people in Piedmont like to drink. Kind of brighter fruit. Very, very tasty. The wine, again, today we're drinking the Vietti Barbera d'Asti. So that's from the town of Asti, just like the Moscato. You also see Barberas from the town of Alba and from other places as well. The other red grape, Dolcetto, is, again, sort of a wonderful, sprightly little cherry-toned wine. Most at its serious in the town of Dogliani, D-O-G-L-I-A-N-A. Dogliani. Got it, yeah? Dolcetto di Dogliani. But you also see Dolcetto from other parts of Piedmont as well. Definitely check those out. Now, the Nebbiolo grape is the one that's, and I'm running out of time, so I'm going to race through this. The Nebbiolo grape is the thing that's really, really misunderstood because it's made into two wines called Barbaresco and Barolo, as well as Gattinara and other things. But people who come into my store looking for high-powered reds know the terms Barolo and Barbaresco, and they are not high-powered reds. They are reds. The Nebbiolo grape is very, very finicky. There are some good young versions of it. Vietti makes a very good one. But when they're made into these very long wood-aged Barolos, Barbarescos, they are hardly drinkable for 10 years. And when they are, like I said, this comes back to Burgundy, they drink really much more like a Pinot Noir. They're delicate, they're beautiful, they're earthy, they're mushroomy. They have sense of wet, you know, forest floor. They're not big jammy things. And so I would just, you know, if you're looking for something like that, don't go for a Barolo or Barbaresco. However, if you do like something that's absolutely beautiful and subtle and wonderful, and not subtle necessarily, but not big and jammy, now ask about them and check them out because they're really, really cool and really gorgeous, and they are super long-lived. So if you're looking for something to lay down, check those out. As I said, I am running out of time, so I did want to make sure that everybody remembers our August tasting will be, as always, on the third Thursday of the month, which is the 15th this month. August 15th from 5 to 7 p.m. And I hope to see you all there. And we'll see you here next week. And we'll talk, I think we're going to talk the rest of Northern Italy. So the Veneto and Trentino and Friuli and all that other good stuff. So check you next week.
Wonderful. We'll look forward to it. Thank you, Eric.
Cheers.
Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, Message in the Bottle every Tuesday afternoon. Go see them at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor.